Shabbat Shalom. I shouldn't be standing before you here today because last Sunday at work I had a severe headache. I had chest congestion and sinus congestion. I went to see the doctor on Monday and she told me you have both a sinus infection and bronchitis. I've been on the medication now since Monday. She told me after 24 hours of being on that one medication, I wouldn't be contagious. So that's another reason why I'm here, is I love to be with you. But it's nice to be able to walk in the provision of the Lord. Sometimes God heals us instantaneously, and sometimes He does over a period of time. But still in all these things, medicine, it all came from Adonai, everything that is. So I praise God I can stand before you. I have a voice to speak. I have a word to share that is not from me, but is from Him. Hallelujah. Just as all our worship today was, you notice in a lot of the songs, there's Yeshua. He's being high and lifted up in this congregation that what? All people may be drawn to Him. Hallelujah. I'm sharing a series, it's called the Shamesh. This is number 6. The Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to share where I appeared before my people, both Jews and Gentiles, through the Word of God, through the Tanakh. And I had an intimate encounter with them. See, that's what a lot of our Jewish brethren have problems with right now. They'll study the Torah, they'll study the Talmud, they'll learn of God, they'll study the commentaries, they'll memorize the commentaries. But they have not received God, Yeshua, being manifested before them in an intimate encounter. How many rabbis through the centuries have come and read the Tanakh and crying out to God, there has to be something more? Had studied the commentaries for years and years, 40 volumes, memorize some of them, but still they did not see Yeshua. But there were a few. And I know as you study, you'll learn that there are many rabbis through the centuries. Rav Shaul, and there are many, many others. Rabbi Ed Rothman here. Many, many others who have come to know Yeshua. And then have come and received Him. And you know what? Just like Yaakov, wouldn't let Him go, right, Rabbi? Right. Wrestled with Him until was touched, as Yaakov was. And what was? He walked with a limp in his hip. What? As a reminder that your provision is not of yourself. All your provision is in Me. In Him we move and have our being. And as this congregation grows, as God brings people into this congregation who are divinely called, one sign that we'll see on each and every individual, and that is an intimate relationship with Yeshua. Not one of the past, but one of the present. That He be lifted up, He says, that all people of the earth will be drawn unto Him. Why? That the Father may be revealed. No matter what background we come from, whether it be Jewish or Gentile, of the nations, we are all one in Yeshua. Praise be to His name. Father, I now ask that You would now anoint this word that goes forth, that all the things that are of this man that stand behind this microphone this night, this day, may be set aside. May Yeshua be revealed in a greater way today as never before. Open our eyes that we may see. Open up our minds that we may understand. Open up our hearts that we may receive all that You have for us today, Yeshua. To Your name be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. A theophany is a Greek word. And the Lord said, start every time here. Repetition is the best teacher. It is an appearance by God, Adonai Yeshua, taking some form, usually a human form, in order to be visible to human beings. Rebbetzin, Alberta, is now sharing today, and she's giving her testimony. When she thought of Jesus growing up as a young girl, that was a picture that she saw of a a blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy with a beard on the wall that wasn't Jewish. It took Yeshua, and Rabbi can testify to this, actually coming down from the heavens and entering into her room and revealing himself to her. That's what it took. How many times have we heard of testimonies of people who are Muslims, the Muslim people, hear of a man in white that comes in their presence and he reveals himself to them as Yeshua? This is not just something that happened in the past. This is happening now. I've heard many, many different Orthodox people share this, that God would give them a dream. And here was that person that they were taught not to receive. He has nothing to do with us. This Yeshua. And it wasn't always on a cross like this. Many times it was on like a T, like a steak. It was like a tree. And they saw him crying out to Abba, his father. And they hear the words, "Do not let not one of these things be accounted unto those. Father, forgive them." And they see him there turning to that thief on his side and declaring to him that today you shall be with me where? In paradise. There was no mikvah, there was no baptism, but just a belief in the promise of the one who was sent. And that is pressed in their minds. It's undeniable. They see Mount Calvary there. They see those Roman soldiers there. They see Miriam at a distance. And Yohanan, the one who was to be her new son, the one that was given to take care of her. That's the revelation that they receive. Praise be to God. A shamash is a servant, a deacon, an attendant in the synagogue within the Messiah's community. It is to apply oneself to be ready for service, to wait on Adonai. You ever get tired of waiting on him? I do. I'm ready to go, Lord, because I'm full of myself. And then you know what he does? He reveals me what he sees me as. Incomplete, holy, set apart, yes, but not mature yet for that next step, to go through that doorway and to serve him in a greater capacity. Just as Yeshua submitted himself to his father Yosef, and he learned a trade as being a carpenter, and he went there. Just think of that rabbi, and here comes Yeshua into the synagogue that day. Here's the one who established the Torah, and he humbles himself. And he goes and he receives from his local rabbi. What later we see in Scripture, as Yeshua went to the temple at age 12, we see what? That his knowledge astounded all the rabbis. They thought, my goodness, where did he get all this teaching from? Was it just from his rabbi up in Nazareth? No. It was from God the Father. And also, he was the one who wrote the Torah. The Lord asked me to do something different today. These messages are not just for us to hear, but they're going out on the podcast. And the Lord said, when you're preparing this message, this is where I want you to start. Now let us turn to the book of John, Yohanan, chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm feeling the strength in my body coming. Praise be to his name. The healing process is coming. In the beginning was the Word, Yeshua. And the Word Yeshua was with God. And the Word Yeshua was God. He, Yeshua, was with God from the beginning. And all things came to be through him, Yeshua. And without him, Yeshua, nothing made had being. In him, Yeshua, was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not suppressed it. There was a man from God whose name was Yohanan, the Mikvist, the Mikvah, not the Baptist. He came to be a testimony to bear witness concerning the light, Yeshua, so that through him, Yeshua, everyone might put his trust in God and be faithful to him, Yeshua. He himself was not the light, Yeshua, this Yohanan. No, he came to bear witness concerning the light of the world, the Lamb that would take away all the sins of the world, that light being Yeshua. This was the true light, Yeshua, which gives light, Yeshua, salvation to everyone entering the world. He, Yeshua, was in the world. The world came to be through him, Yeshua. Yet the world did not know him, Yeshua. Remember that day when you did not know him? And the day he opened up your eyes and you saw him for the very first time. Your salvation, your Yeshua. He, Yeshua, came into his own homeland. And yet, his Yeshua, his people, his own people did not receive him, Yeshua. But as many as did receive him, Yeshua, God's salvation, to those who put their trust in his person, the person of whom? Yeshua. And the power he gave, he, Yeshua, gave them the right to become the children of God. No other way. There's only one way to God. We see these bumper stickers out there, don't we? Coexist. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When you see that on someone's building or banner or car, pray for their soul. Because they're marked with what? Hasatan. They're walking to deception. Don't get in argument with them. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Just as Yeshua is pleading on their behalf, we must enter in. We must have what? The heart of God. If we do not, shame on us. Because if the love of God does not abide in our hearts, what are we? We're religious people. Are we ready to stop playing games? Let's continue. Not because of the bloodline or physical impulse or human intention, but because of God, we become the children of God through Yeshua. The word Yeshua became a human being and lived among us. And we saw his Shekinah, Yeshua's glory. Now let us turn now to the book of Bereshit. That's Genesis chapter 5, 18. We're going to learn of a righteous Gentile. An amazing man who was introduced to Yeshua as a young man. And once he received him, he embraced him and he wouldn't let him go. And it's amazing what happened in his life. We're in Genesis chapter 5 and we're beginning at verse 18. And Yared lived 162 years and then fathered Hanoah. And after Hanoah was born, Yared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. And in all, Yared lived 962 years and then he died. Hanoah lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And after Methuselah was born, Hanoah walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And in all, Hanoah lived 365 years. Hanoah, who is Enoch, walked with God, and then he wasn't there because God took him. A righteous Gentile. The Jewish people had not become into being. Abraham was not born yet. That's what the scripture says. This good news is for all nations, whether you be of the Jewish nation or of the nations. It doesn't matter. This is plain and this is clear. Can you imagine what it was like when Enoch first met God? Not God the Father, because what did Yeshua said? No one has seen the Father but me. Yeshua speaking, not the guy behind the microphone. It was not the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit, but it was literally Yeshua being manifested in human form. Because I tell you this, when he came down and he walked with Enoch, Enoch, could you imagine? He's walking around and he's just hearing a voice. And his wife says to him, "What are you doing? Who are you talking to? Are you beside yourself? Are you Meshuggah?" But this is that he walked with God. Yeshua. He was intimate with him. Yeshua saw him in his good days and bad days. And for these next 365 years. How many months do we have in a year? That's right. So for 365 years, Enoch walked with God. And you know, one time after 365 years of intimate fellowship, Yeshua said to him, "I'm having a great time with you. Right now, I don't want you to pack your clothes. I don't want you to say goodbye to anybody. I'm taking you home with me to the Father." Praise God. And right now, Enoch is in heaven. And we know that Yeshua died upon the tree for us 2,000 years ago, right? I'm not a great mathematician. There's probably some here that can do all the math here for me. So let's say he's now over 2,365,000 years old. And you know what? He's been celebrating birthdays in heaven. You know, as we get older, we think about all those candles we got to have on our cake. Can you imagine the size of Enoch's cake now with all these candles in heaven? Because you think they don't celebrate birthdays up there? I believe they do. But you know what's amazing? He's still alive. And you know what? When Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, died, who was there to meet him? Enoch. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. Praise God. Let's continue. If Alberta was here today, I was going to ask her to come up and share her testimony today about her intimate encounter with Yeshua. But you know what? She's doing it right now. She's speaking to some women. And Father, I lift up our sister Alberta to you right now. We ask, O God, that you be with her, that you would anoint her, you would fill her mouth, O God. You'd cast out all fear, any anxiety from her. And may she speak with boldness and clarity, and that all those who are hearing her this day, O God, may they receive the Yeshua that she embraced those many years ago. And not only embraced him back then, but she lives for him today. And she has intimate fellowship with him even today. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now let us turn to Messianic Jews. That is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5. and beginning at verse 6 of chapter 11. By trusting, Hanoah was taken away from this life without seeing death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For he has been attested as having prior to being taken away, well-pleasing to God. Who's given this testimony here? It's Yeshua. He's given that one person here that wrote the book of Messianic Jews, the book of Hebrews, who is unknown to us. The Ruach decided, I'll make this author as an unknown author. That when you hear and read this book, you'll know it comes directly from me. For he has been attested as having been prior to being taken away, well-pleasing to God. And without trusting, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. Because whoever approaches him must trust that he does exist. Have not we all had that personal encounter with Yeshua? Acknowledging, yes, he was sent to the Father. Yes, he is our Mashiach, the promise, our promised Messiah. Yes, he did give us the Torah to establish God's law in our hearts. But you know what? We failed, and we do fail today on fulfilling Torah, have we not? It's impossible for man or a woman to fulfill Torah. It's only when we recognize that there has been a provision given to us in Yeshua who came and fulfilled all Torah that we have righteousness and holiness. But it's not out of works or memorization of Torah, but it is out of believing and receiving Him who is that tree, the Torah. That skin, His skin, who the Torah was written upon. If we had some Torah scrolls, I could take it out right now and show to you. What is that? That's a tree. It's on wood. And it's written on skin, the very Word of God. And who is the Word of God in 1 John? It is Yeshua. Everyone who approaches Him must trust that He exists. What do our non-Jewish believing brothers and sisters, where are they right now? They're standing at the threshold, right, that doorway right there. They think that this Yeshua is for the Gentiles. He's the God of the Gentiles. But what does God's Word reveal? He is God the Father being manifested in the flesh, that all us may receive Him and know the Father through the Son. Praise be to His name. We must trust that He does exist. So our Jewish brothers and sisters are standing at the doorway. They're waiting. They're waiting to see in our lives, both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah, getting along, loving one another, and lifting up the God of their fathers. Then the veil is removed from their eyes. And then they come to the point right here where it says they must trust that He does exist and that He becomes rewarder of those who seek Him out. Each of us has had to seek Him out. This is nothing new. Just as Enoch, when he was introduced to Yeshua, he believed all the promises. You know what's great? There's very, very little written about Enoch in the Scripture. I'm jealous. You know why? I wish there was more written. So I could learn from the pattern of Enoch, so I could draw closer to the Lord. But you know what? You know why it's left out? Because my eyes are not supposed to be on Moshe, or Enoch, or Eliyahu, Miriam, anyone, but they're to be on whom? Yeshua. Amen. Praise be to His name. Hallelujah. Now let us turn to the... See if I'm running the right spot here, because I'm skipping a lot, which is good. Malachim Bet, that is 2 Kings chapter 2. How many people have gone from this earth directly into the heavens? We know of Enoch. What's the other one? Just say out his name. That's right, Eliyahu. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. We're examining these people's lives today, that we may be able to glean from them. But you know what's beautiful? Everyone's intimate encounter with Yeshua is different. It says that He's inscribed us what? Our names upon His palm. Your name has been inscribed on Yeshua's palm. Some people, they go out and they get a tattoo of their loved one, don't they? He's inscribed it. That's a cutting. That's deepening. That's deepening. There's blood. Your name. That's how precious you are to Him. That He's inscribed your name, our name, upon Him. 2 Kings chapter 2. The time came for Adonai to take Eliyahu, Elijah, up into heaven in a whirlwind. Eliyahu and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. When Eliyahu said to Elisha, "Please wait here, because Adonai has sent me all the way to Bethel." What is Bethel? That's right, the house of God. Our parashah earlier today, where do we find Yaakov? Bethel, the house of God. But Elijah said, "As Adonai lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the guild of prophets of Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that Adonai is taking your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," he answered. "Say no more." Let's pause here for a second. Why? Because these prophets had heard the story passed down that there was another that went in the very presence of Abba the Father through Yeshua the Son, was brought up into the heavens. So this isn't a new thing, but this is the very first time that they hear that it's going to take place by discernment through the Ruach HaKodesh, that this was going to take place with a Jewish man. Let's continue. Eliyahu said to him, "Elisha, please wait here because Adonai has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As Adonai lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho, and the gilded prophets of Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Adonai is taking your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," he answered. "Say no more." Confirmation. All these prophets are hearing from what? The one true God through the Ruach. There's unity. There's confirmation. There's safety. Just as you have within this congregation. When you come before the rabbi and the Rebbetzin, and the elders and the deacons who are there for you, and you bring something up to them and you say, "Is this of God or not?" They have been trained. They have been seasoned in the portion that they know and they hear the will of God for our benefits, and we can rejoice in it. Amen? Remember to pray for your rabbi and your Rebbetzin during the week. They stand in the gap. They're at the front lines where Hasatan wants to what? Discredit and destroy their lives and their testimony. If you don't love them, there's the door. If we don't love one another, there's the door. If we don't love Yeshua and lift Him up and exalt Him, there's the door. You know what? I may be walking out that door one day. I don't lean upon my own strength, my own will, but the will of the living God. We are to what? Work out our salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Let nothing separate you from Yeshua. And let nothing separate you from your brothers and sisters in Messiah. Look around at these people around. These are your brothers and sisters. I don't care if you've ever met one another or if you spent any time with one another. These are the people you're going to be spending eternity with. And we're to love them. We're to esteem them. We're to exalt them. Or we're living in a religious community. God forbid. Let's continue. Eliyahu said to him, "Please wait here, because Adonai has sent me to the Yarden, the Jordan." He replied, "As Adonai lives, as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 of the gilded prophets went and stood watching them from a distance. While they stood by the Yarden, Eliyahu took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. And the water divided itself the left and to the right, so that they crossed on dry ground. And after they had crossed, Eliyahu said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double share of your spirit be on me." He didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for lands. He asked for the Ruach that he's seen in his spiritual father's life being lived out before him. Because if we'd look back in this story, we see Elijah what? He's out plowing with oxen. And the Eliyahu walks across the path. And he recognizes in that individual the Ruach HaKodesh, the manifestation of Yeshua living in this man's life. And what does he do? He takes and he sacrifices them oxen. To whom? To Adonai. And he leaves, that he may grow and serve the one living true God. That was the drawing. What's going to draw people into this house? When you and I are walking in the fullness of the Ruach HaKodesh and Yeshua HaMashiach is being manifested in each one here's unique body, our thoughts, our expressions. And they're going to desire He that lives within us, just as we desire Him. "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double share of your spirit be on me." He replied, "You have requested a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, you will get what you have asked for. But if you don't, you won't." Eliyahu knew this. "I'm passing the baton now. My days are numbered. I'm going to leave this land. There are men and women of authority underneath me, the prophets throughout the land. And here's my understudy. I must test him and find out, is his heart pure? If I asked him a question, I will give you anything. What will his answer be? Eliyahu received his answer. It wasn't, I want to be on TV. I want to have the biggest mega church in the world. I want private planes. I want these suits. I want to write books. I want to sell tapes. He didn't say, when they hear my name, everyone stops and says, there goes so-and-so, the man of God. There are men and women, they're out building kingdoms in the name of Yeshua. But they're building what? Wood, hay, and stubble. Their hearts are not pure. For they're building their own kingdom. And one day when they stand before Yeshua, and the fire is placed to all the things that they've done on this earth, it's all going to burn. Yes, they will be saved. But everything's going to be burnt up. So we see Eliyahu here looking to pass the baton to his understudy. Not for the understudy, but for the provision of the whole house of Israel would have the proper leader leading them. Just as we have Rabbi Ed Rothman leading us today. He took a congregation in a time when many churches said, what are you doing? You're setting up a wall here, a barrier wall between Jews and Gentiles. How dare you not worship on Sundays? How dare you go back to the law and go back to meeting on Fridays and Saturdays? He stood in the gap, as many Messianic pioneers have stood in the gap. And many of you have learned and studied of them. This congregation did not put up a wall of partition. This congregation was established that Jewish people may come in and receive and see Yeshua, not as a blue-eyed, blonde-haired European, but as the true revelation of who he was and is in all the traditions that are holy unto God, which is the Torah. If you study church groups, they'll send people out into cultures and they'll proclaim what? A Jewish message of Jewish prophets and apostles? And they'll strip everything out of it that's Jewish. Identity theft. Yeshua died as what? The King of the Jews. He's coming not back to Rome. He's not coming back to any of these nations. But he's coming back to set up his city in Jerusalem. And you who are of the Gentile background, who've been called to this ministry, are not second-class citizens. You are part of the wild olive tree that has been grafted in. Just as Father Abraham, listen to this, for 99 years he lived as a Gentile. Hello? He was circumcised at what? Age 99 or 100? That had to hurt. I was there for my circumcision, but you know what? I don't remember it. Okay? But this is what God has established, this congregation. And who are we seeking? Yeshua. That all Jewish people from every Jewish background, whether they be Orthodox, Reformed, Conservative, secular, fill in the blank. We have Jewish people who are Jewish Hindus. But you know what's amazing? The Orthodox Jewish community will not accept, they won't accept the Conservative or the Reformed. Please understand this. But someone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah? Are you kidding? They will accept and say you're still Jewish. You can be a Jewish atheist. I can't wrap my head around that. I've never been able to do it, and I never will. Let's continue. Suddenly they were walking and talking, and there appeared a fiery chariot with horses of fire. As it separated the two of them from each other, Eliyahu went up in heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Then he lost sight of him, and seizing his clothes, he tore them in half. Why did he do that? He did it because, you know what? All the things of the past, I count as dung. I throw it aside. He then took the cloak that had fallen off Eliyahu and struck the water and said, where is Adonai, the God of Eliyahu? But when he actually did strike the water, it divided itself to the left and to the right. Then Elisha crossed over. When the gilded prophets of Jericho saw him in the distance, and they said, the spirit of Eliyahu does rest on Elisha. Remember that testimony earlier? When Elisha was in the field and he recognized the Ruach HaKodesh alive and living within Eliyahu. And what is their testimony? We see it. But what did Elisha ask for? Double portion. I want more. Not that I want to be greater than my spiritual father. I want to serve more. When the gilded prophets of Jericho saw him in the distance and said, the spirit of Eliyahu does rest on Elisha. Advancing to meet him, they prostrated themselves on the ground before him. Are they worshiping him? No. They're acknowledging, you know what? The baton has been passed. From King David, where did the crown go? To his son Shlomo, Solomon. And it's been passed to whom? When there was no longer a king sitting on the throne of Israel. Because our people had what? They'd rejected God's law. A remnant did not. But as a whole, our people did. And the kingdom was removed. But what did God, Yeshua, say to King David? I'm giving you a kingdom that the scepter shall not ever be removed from your descendants' hands. And one day, that day as we look forward to, that day when Yeshua comes, lands on the Mount of Olives, and then descends and goes up through that golden gate that no one can go through because it's barred, it's cemented closed. And he'll go in there, up on the Temple Mount. And if those two mosques are up there, you know what's going to happen? He's just going to look at it and it's going to melt. And he's going to go up and he's going to set up his kingdom. Praise be to his name. And he said to them, "Hear now, your servants, that the spirit of Adonai has been taken up. Set him down again." Let me back up here. They advancing to meet him, they prostrated themselves on the ground before him and said to him, "Hear now, your servants, include 50 strong men. Please let them go and look for your master. In the event that the spirit of Adonai has taken him up and set him down on a mountain or on some valley." See, they believed in where you're translated, that's it. Translate from one place to another. What happened in the Brit Hadashah, Philip, he was translated where? Out of a revival. To whom? To an Enoch. Ethiopian eunuch. And what did he do? He opened up the scripture. And that Ethiopian eunuch received the good news that Yeshua had come. And he went, he received the mikvah, the baptism, the cleansing of his old ways, and rose anew in Yeshua. He answered them, "Don't send them." But they kept pressing him until finally embarrassed, he said to them. So they sent 50. For 3 days they searched, but they didn't find him. On returning to him, where he was waiting in Jericho, he said to them, "I told you not to go, didn't I?" Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "My lord, can you see that this is a pleasant city to live in? But the water is bad, so that the ground was causing miscarriages. Bring me a new jug," he said, "and put salt in it." And they brought it to him. And he went out to the source of the water and threw the salt in it and said, "This is what Adonai says, I have healed this water. It will no longer cause death or miscarrying." The water was healed and had remained healed to this day, in keeping with Elisha's spoken word. Now let us turn to Revelation chapter 11. There are two witnesses here in Revelation chapter 11. It is the last days. These two witnesses give testimony of the one yet to come. As a young believer, I was fully convinced that these two witnesses were two individuals. They were Eliyahu, Elisha, and Moshe, Moses. Because what was being taught at that time was this. This would be the law from Moshe, representing, and the prophets, the chief of all the prophets, Eliyahu. And it made sense. But here we see in Revelation chapter 11, "I was given a measuring rod like a stick and told, 'Get up and measure the temple of God, the altar, and count the many people who are worshiping there.' But the court outside the temple, leave that out and don't measure it, because it has been given to the nations, the Goyim. And they will trample over the holy city for 2 months. Also, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two menorahs, standing before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to do them harm, fire comes out of their mouth and consumes their enemies. Yes, if anyone tries to harm them, that is how he must die. They have the authority to shut up the sky so that no rain falls during that period of their prophesying. Also, they have the authority to turn the waters into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. When they have finished their witnessing, the beasts coming up from the abyss will fight against them and overcome them and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the main street of the great city, whose name, to reflect the spiritual condition, is Sodom and Egypt, the city where their Lord was executed on a stake. Some from the nations and tribes and languages and peoples see their bodies, for 3.5 days, and do not permit the corpses to be placed in a tomb. The people living in the land rejoice over them. They celebrate and send each other gifts. They're celebrating. Are they celebrating Christmas as the world does? I don't know. Because these two prophets tormented them so. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, the Ruach. The very breath that was breathed in whom? Our father, Adam. They stood up on their feet, and with great fear fell on those who saw them. Then the two heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies watched them. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were awestruck and gave glory to the God of heaven. I said earlier, who were these two witnesses? We have two individuals, according to the Tanakh, who never died. One Jew, one Gentile. Have you ever seen a rabbi share about Shavuot, and he takes those two loaves, and what has he said? These are two nations. One's the Jewish nation, and one is the nations. And he brings them together. The witness. I believe right now in my heart that those two witnesses are Eliyahu and Enoch. A righteous Gentile and a righteous Jew. This is for your consideration, that you may seek after the Word of God and know Him and know it. To some people maybe say, boy, you're talking heresy, brother. What did God declare? I'm making a brand new man. Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah. And what do we do every Passover? We set a chair. We set up a placemat. We put out the silverware for one important guest, Eliyahu. In Yeshua's day, the Pharisees went out and they asked Yohanan, "Are you Eliyahu?" He said, "No." Why? Because our Jewish people are looking for what? One who's going to come to bring the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And the hearts of the children back to the Father. And to the fathers, the spiritual fathers. I believe that this is God's provision. So I want to share again, all those of you who are not of a Jewish heritage, don't worry about it. You've been grafted in. You've become spiritual Jews. Is that not what the scripture says? Out of the old olive tree, you've been grafted into the one true faith. Christianity, by without its roots, is dead. Did you hear that? Learn and study about the Dark Ages. Around 300 in Constantinople, when they did not invite the Messianic Jewish bishops, and they met behind closed doors to come up with a religion that had Yeshua, but they gave him the name Jesus. They have robbed you of your Jewish heritage in Messiah because you've been grafted in. I pray right now, O God, that you would open up my brothers and sisters' eyes right now. That they, when they open the scriptures, they will see that it's a Jewish book from Bereshit, Genesis, through Revelation. that they've been grafted in, O God. They are co-heirs. Their word says, O God, that there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, Jew or nations, male or female, slave. We've all been slaves to sin. We're now all free in Yeshua. Father, I just pray that that revelation would come, that anything that I've said today in error, we have a precious rabbi who's well-learned that can straighten anything I say in error. Praise be to God. And we have deacons and we have elders. We have Brother Allen here who edits these messages, that only Yeshua is being lifted up and He is being exalted, O God. And Father, I thank You that You're bringing about this body here. It's Yeshua that's walking among us. He's dealing with the fires that are going on in our lives. He's putting them out. He's going to cause all of us to die to self, that Yeshua may be manifested and exalted. And that when people in this St. Louis Park community see that both Jew and Gentile are one in Messiah, and that the glory, the Shekinah glory, is being seen, undeniable, just as Rav Shaul was knocked off his high horse because he truly believed that he was serving the one true and living God in the persecution of those who were walking in the way, who were all Jews. Father, open up their eyes that they may see Yeshua being manifested. Father, may our Jewish brothers be dissatisfied with religion and embrace the Messiah. Father, we pray for the body of the church. We pray right now, God, that they would turn away from the things of this earth, being like the world, building these buildings, building these ministries. They're all going to burn. Father, I thank You, men of integrity, like Rabbi shared earlier about Billy Graham. He stayed the course, and yet one day he'll pass the baton. It may be to his son or to somebody else. We don't know. But Father, I pray that You just bless Reverend Billy Graham right now, as we've all received from him through the years. Many names have been inscribed on the Lamb's Book of Life because of his faithfulness. And how was it that one of his Bible professors said to him, "You're not going to become anything. You're going to probably be working in some little country church way out someplace, and no one will ever hear about you." But Lord, he humbled his heart before You. And look what You've done. Father, I pray right now that You would humble our hearts before You. That You'd pour out Your Ruach in us, O God. Father, that this body of Messiah at the seat of Abraham would grow in oneness, in heart and spirit, O God. Father, I pray that You'd stir up the gifts that are in my brothers and sisters right now, O God. Father, we need these gifts that we can build upon Your kingdom, O God, not ours. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Husband Tim, if you can close. Thank you.